Coming Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 8th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 9th. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Everybody's noticed it. They're not girls anymore. They're young women. Now we call them tweens. And let's be honest, the sexualization of young women, girls, and tweens continues apace with tragic results and a tragic story. We'll hear from Colleen Carroll Campbell here in just a moment. It's Thursday afternoon, March the 31st. Joining us to talk about the sexualization of girls, Colleen Carroll Campbell, host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Tell us this story, just a tragic story from Texas involving an 11-year-old girl.
Well, the town is a little hamlet of 8,000 people in East Texas called Cleveland. And there last fall, six different times, an 11-year-old girl was gang raped. The total number of assailants at this point that police have arrested is 19, but there are rumors in the town that there were as many as 28 men involved over these multiple times that she was raped. Some of these were, she was a little sixth grader. Some of these were stars in the local high school basketball team, but some of them were men more than twice her age with long criminal records. And not only did they rape her repeatedly, but they documented their attacks on their cell phones, using their cell phones to videotape and take photos of her as she was being brutalized. And then these videos went viral among her middle school classmates, which is what led police to start making the arrests. As bad as this story is, it actually gets worse for the victim, and that is because when this started hitting the papers, last month, a number of Cleveland residents, not just a few, but quite a large number, openly blamed the victim, both to the press and at community forums that were organized. Basically said that this girl looked older than her age, she dressed older, she flirted too much, she had suggestive comments on her Facebook page. As one woman told an AP reporter, she wanted this to happen. Those were the words that the woman used. So, it's just an ugly story in many, many ways.
All right, we'll come back to that story and to the subject of the sexualization of girls. Colleen Carroll Campbell is our guest. I want your Issues Etc. story. What I mean is, I want to hear from you on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. If you have an Issues Etc. story to tell, and I know so many of our listeners do, what's your favorite show? And why? That's a good Issues Etc. story. How long have you listened? Why did you start listening? Why did your friends and family start listening? How has God's Word through Issues Etc. helped you in your life and strengthened your faith? It's an Issues Etc. story. 618-223-8384 before Thursday, April the 7th.
Coming Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 8th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 9th. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A growing threat in Europe.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Christina Adoni, a research fellow at the Center for Policy Studies in England, wrote a chilling report in the UK Telegraph recently indicating the Council of Europe wishes to close the loopholes which allow medical professionals to abstain from performing abortions or engaging in euthanasia. According to Mrs. Adoni, the Council will start by asking European governments to establish a register of those who conscientiously object to performing such procedures. This step may seem small, but could eventually threaten freedom of conscience in Europe, as well as religiously affiliated hospitals.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Issues Etc. Live this Thursday, March the 31st. Colleen Carol Campbell is our guest. We're talking about the sexualization of girls. A little bit later, we're going to be turning to the subject of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, and some conversation that's taking place between some senators and President Barack Obama's nominee for Solicitor General on the subject of whether or not they will defend the Defense of Marriage Act. Brian Brown of the National Organization for Marriage will be our guest. Colleen, before the break, you told us the tragic story of this 11-year-old girl in Texas. Set it in its larger context of the general sexualization of girls, and we are talking here about girls.
Well, that's right. And what this tells us, I mean, obviously this is a one-of-a-kind story in terms of its horror. We don't hear things this appalling too often. And what happened to this girl is of a magnitude that most middle school girls have never suffered anything like this, and God willing, never will. But this pattern of goading girls, I think, into growing up too fast and then blaming them when they are exploited by the very culture, and in this case, the very perpetrators who sort of encourage them to market themselves as sex objects, is unfortunately not that unusual a pattern. This is, of course, and obviously a very extreme manifestation of it, but we're seeing kind of a virtual version of this happening to girls across America. And what I'm speaking now of is things like the trend towards sexting among not just high school girls, but grade school girls. Girls who are 10 and 11 and 12 years old sending out nude pictures of themselves and explicit messages because they're getting the message from the culture that this is the way you get attention. And in a few cases in recent years, these kinds of sexting scandals have actually blown up and the girls have committed suicide. So there are actually deadly repercussions to the way that we sexualize girls. And we do it in a million different ways, but obviously the mass media play a huge role here.
What is the, or where has the line been crossed? I mean, that's what I'm curious about, because if you look back over the last 40 years or so, we can look and see in the 60s and 70s this beginning, but no one then would have imagined how early we would be putting sexual expectations on children.
That's right. I mean, I think this is a consequence of a lot of the loosening of traditional, you know, moral norms that have governed civilization for centuries. And when you start throwing those out and saying they're unnecessary, I don't think it's a large step to begin sexualizing children. You know, this is supposed to be an age of great liberation for women, but what a lot of young girls are learning is they have to be women far before they are ready. And they have to demonstrate their value by demonstrating their sex appeal. You know, I think television has been played a huge role in this, certainly Hollywood, not only with movies, but television. Last year in December, the Parents Television Council released an eye-opening analysis of the primetime broadcast shows that were most popular among teenagers today, most geared to teens. And they found that underage girls were lopsidedly represented whenever there was sexual content involved. It was something like 50% of sex scenes in these shows involved underage girls, as opposed to only 29% that involved women of age, of legal consent. And whenever underage girls were on screen, the PTC report found that more sexual content was shown. The girls were shown responding almost uniformly positively to their own sexualization, and the sex acts they committed were portrayed mostly as punchlines, as jokes, and as hookups, things that happen outside any form of committed relationship. So this is what girls are growing up seeing, and we're seeing more of these kinds of themes even in, you know, crime dramas. You know, there's sort of the Lolita sexual abuse angle. So many of the plots revolve around these kinds of things. They're portrayed as all of us, you know, shaking our heads at how awful this is. But, you know, the producers of these shows never fail to actually show the crimes to make sure that we sort of, you know, dwell in all of their lewdness and deviance. And we're seeing that, you know, and girls are growing up seeing these images. I mean, we know that, unfortunately, American children spend an inordinate amount of their time watching television. But, of course, then all they need to do is go online, and this toxic stew of internet porn, free-for-all social media sites, and wall-to-wall coverage of these celebrity bad girls like Lindsay and Paris and Brittany and all the rest confirm to girls that the only way they can get noticed is to get raunchy. And that's where I think we get trends like the sexting trend. A 2009 survey by a marketing company that focuses on tweens, and that's a kind of a trendy new name for girls who are preteen, but no longer girls, which, you know, I think is problematic in and of itself, defining them that way. But this company found that about a third of preteen girls say they are already engaging in sexting. Typically, they received the first sexualized messages or photos on their little cell phones or internet, on their web pages, whatever, as early as age 10. And they were sending their own such messages by age 12. So we're talking about a third of girls who haven't even entered the teen years. You know, and we also see the fashion industry very much pushing this. I mean, there was a big flap over Abercrombie Kids just a few weeks ago because they released their new line of swimwear for girls. It's marketed to girls ages 8 to 12. And among them was included a padded push-up bikini top, you know, obviously to help these 8-year-old girls look like they are little women, when obviously they're not inside. You know, so we see girls sporting these kinds of things, the super skinny jeans that have Juicy stamped across their rear ends. And we see them even before they're in high school or teenagers, you know, wearing T-shirts like Legal-ish. That was a message on a Hollister T-shirt that had a lot of sparked some controversy recently. They had slogans like, you know, Legal-ish, and basically kind of saying, you know, I'm available sexually even though I'm not even in my teen years. And, you know, and we see girls walking down through the mall wearing T-shirts, Hottie, Vixen, all of it. And you just wonder, I mean, first, what are their parents thinking? Secondly, what are the marketers doing? What are they thinking? And, you know, all of this these things have serious consequences. And the sad thing is that when girls kind of move down this path that the culture is pushing them down, and then they do something like send a nude picture of themselves to someone they think is their boyfriend, and it gets disseminated to the whole school, and suddenly there's an uproar and they're vilified and bullied, I think they're genuinely confused because the culture told them this is acceptable, this is what you're supposed to be and do. And yet when they do it, the same culture that has forgotten how to protect their innocence still remembers how to shame them when they lose that innocence. And that's, I think, what we're seeing all over America. And the Cleveland story is obviously of a different quality, you know, in a whole different league. But it's sort of reminiscent of this other quieter trend that's quietly destroying many girls as well.
With only a minute here, you mentioned that you were concerned about that term, tween. What about it specifically concerns you? About a minute before we close up.
Well, Todd, we talked recently about this new term for 20-somethings, emerging adult. You know, not quite an adult, not really an adolescent anymore. And I think tween, in some ways, is the same thing. We're kind of acting like we've discovered these new life phases for young people, but I think all we're doing is sometimes distorting what should be a pretty clear life phase. Frankly, if you're in your 20s, you should be an adult, not an emerging one. And when you're a little girl and you're not yet a teenager, you're a little girl. You're not a tween. and you shouldn't be marketed to as if you are a mini teenager or a mini woman. You know, and unfortunately, we know that magazines like Seventeen, which are pretty explicit, I mean, you know, they make the mothers blush, or should, they're not marketed to 17-year-olds. They're marketed to the 10 and 11 and 12-year-old girls. So everything keeps moving down earlier and earlier. So when we start calling girls tweens and treating them like little mini teenagers who should already be rebelling and sexy and have boyfriends and all the rest, we take that much more time off. We shave that much more time off of their childhood, which is already too short. So, you know, you're a little girl, and then you're a teenager, and frankly, when you're a teenager, you're still really a child. And then you should become an adult, and I think we should be very careful about kind of redefining all of these phases, because I think a lot of it is a marketing gimmick that allows people to simply make more money off the exploitation of our children.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, in just over 167 hours, that's 1 week from tomorrow, we're going to start Issues Etc. 24. We did it last year. We're doing it again this year. It's 24 continuous hours of Issues Etc. beginning Friday, the 8th of April at 4 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time, running through Saturday, the 9th of April, 4 o'clock Central Time. 24 continuous live hours of Issues Etc. We'll take books of the Bible in two-hour blocks with great guests all through the evening, all through the night, all through the morning, and into the next day, running till 4 o'clock on Saturday, the 9th of April, Issues Etc. 24. Now, we want you to help us promote it with your congregation, and you can do so by going to our website and downloading, printing, and giving to your pastor or secretary the Issues Etc. bulletin insert. It has all the information that you need there, and it's all ready to print out for you and for your bulletin. Issuesetc.org. Click support. It's right at the top of the page. Now, I know it's late in the week. If you missed your deadline for this Sunday's bulletin, and maybe you have, that's all right. Still go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, download, and print that bulletin insert. Take it to your pastor, even as late as Sunday morning. Ask him, can we make some copies and hand these out to our parishioners as they leave church? And let them know what's coming up Friday, the 7th, the 8th of April, Issues Etc. 24. You won't want to miss Issues Etc. 24, and don't miss the opportunity to help us promote Issues Etc. 24. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about the resurrection of Christ. We'll also pay Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. When we come back, we'll be talking about the Defense of Marriage Act and President Obama's nominee for Solicitor General.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Do you have an Issues Etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your Issues Etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
You'll find study notes highlighting the promises of God and Jesus' death for you in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Faith Alive Student Bible. This full-color Bible for students ages 8 through high school is edited by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fikencher. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Faith Alive Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.